right here, and she's going to help us celebrate Christmas season with her wonderful annual Christmas concert that she gives at VLC. And it is going to be December the 12th, so it's not far off. You want to be here for that. We sure would appreciate your attendance for that, and it'll be a wonderful rip-roaring awesome Christmas celebration. And we have the poinsettias that Sister Claudia has brought up. If you've purchased one and you have not paid for one, you know what I mean. If you haven't brought your money yet, go ahead and see Sister Robin, Sister Claudia about that. And if you want to purchase one, I think we have one or two that are extra. Anyways, moving forward, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Our focus is going to be on one verse this morning. We're preaching out of one main verse. It's Isaiah 9, verse 6. And all month long, we're going to be celebrating Christmas here at VLC. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the presents. You guys know that. You're smart folks. You get that by now. But we are going to talk about that greatest gift. Amen? We're going to talk about that most precious, wonderful blessing that was given to all mankind. So first and foremost, we're going to read this verse right here, and we're just going to dissect it. Now this verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6, was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So it's one of those interesting and amazing facts that the Lord used this man of God to make this prophecy about Jesus Christ. One of those things that we can get totally excited about. Let's go ahead and read the verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your anointing in this house, Lord. Thank you that we're going to leave here supercharged and refreshed and encouraged, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that there's no anxiety, fear, depression, discouragement, or despair, Father God. Not for your people, Lord, but we are excited and optimistic about the wonderful things that you're doing in this land and in our homes and in our hearts, Lord God. We love you and praise you. Your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So like I said, this prophecy came from Isaiah. And he spoke these words 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is not the only Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. The whole Old Testament speaks about the Messiah. The whole Old Testament points to the Messiah. And if you want a special blessing this week, go ahead and dig into the book of Isaiah. There's some amazing promises that God makes. And it's so encouraging and exciting to read these prophecies and see how they came to pass. See, one thing that I want you guys to take home with you today is a poinsettia and only $20. One thing I want you to take home with you today is the fact that God makes a lot of promises and he keeps all his promises. No other holy book, if I can say that, no other religious book makes the promises that God makes in the Bible, and the promises that God makes in the Bible come to pass. So we serve a risen Savior. We serve the one true God. So give the Lord some praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, when we see this part right here, it says, for to us a child is born. That is talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, let that sink in. Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. Did you hear what I said? I can't explain it like I want to. I don't understand it like I want to, but I know God doesn't lie, and God says this is what's going on here. So this is an amazing, wonderful thing that we're going to unwrap today. For to us a child is born, and this is talking about his humanity. Now look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It's on your bulletin. If it's not, it should be right up there. Now this verse right here, this is when Joseph, the stepdaddy of Jesus, when Joseph had found out that Mary, his betrothed, his love, the love of his life, when he found out that she was with child, he was obviously very disturbed and distraught. And in those days, this was a very, very big thing. So he had a lot to figure out. So as he's laying there, he's trying to figure out, what in the world should I do? You know, he loved Mary. He didn't want to drag her through the mud metaphorically. He didn't want to drag her through the mud physically, because he had the right to have her put to death. Okay, now that's just the world that they lived in right there. He loved Mary so much. And as he's laying there contemplating these things, and an angel appears to him in a vision as he sleeps and says this right here. Okay, remember, right now we're talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. To us, a child is born. Amen? Raise your hand if you were born once. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've been born because we're humans. Okay, all right. See, that's the kind of precious teaching you're going to get here at Victory Life Church. You're not going to find that deep hidden manna at it. No, I'm playing. Okay. Anyways, hold on a second. Now, I got to put the top on this water because a few weeks ago, I poured the whole jug out. I got a mite excited and poured the jug out. Matthew 1 and verse 21, this is the angel talking to Joseph. She will bear a son. We're talking about his humanity. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you want to get fired up this morning, that is a verse that you can get fired up about. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The angel saying, name the baby Jesus. Okay, now, maybe a better translation would be Joshua. Jesus, Joshua. But see, what's going on here is the name Jesus is a very special name, or the name Joshua is a very special name, and it means God is salvation. So this wasn't just some name that God said, hey, you know, I'm kind of partial to Joshua. I'm kind of partial to Jesus. No, this name meant something. And as they throughout time, as the Israelites were ruled by other nations, they would name their males, they would name their sons Jesus or Joshua as a symbol. Every time you said that child's name, it was like, God is going to get us out of this mess. God is going to save us out of this mess. So this is a fulfillment of that messianic prophecy. For to us a child is born. God said, name, through the angel, God says, name him Jesus, because he is going to save their people from their sins. And if you notice, we're brought into something that a lot of people saw Jesus as the Messiah early on, but they thought he was just coming to set up his earthly kingdom. They thought he was just going to come and kick out the Romans. They were thinking about things on such a temporal level. They wanted things easier, and we certainly understand that, right? It's like, get these guys out of here. We want to go back to the good old days when Solomon and David ruled and all this. But see, look at this, what the angel is saying to Joseph. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means God is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. It's not just about kicking the Romans out. It's not just about sitting on some earthly throne. And see, this is a message that Joseph is getting right from the get-go. It's something bigger than your plans, Joe. It's something bigger than anybody can even imagine. It's about salvation for all that will call on his name. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Matthew 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What a precious name. There's no name like that. It's the most loved and hated name on the planet. Either you love it or you can't stand it. Okay, moving forward. For to us a child is born. Still talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Remember, 100% human and 100% God. Well, how does that work out? I don't know. I don't know. But God knows what he's doing, okay? And God don't lie. Okay, so why does it even matter? Why does it matter that he was born in human flesh, that he was part of humanity. Well, Hebrews 4 and verse 15 hopefully will shed a little light on the subject for us. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest. This is so good. I hope you're psyched up, man, about Jesus right now. I sure am, man. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year, and it's so easy to get sidetracked by all the lights and tinsel, and man, I gotta buy this. That's all childish rubbish. I mean, those things are nice. Don't get me wrong. Those things are nice, but that's not what it's all about, you know? And don't be this person, not this year, don't be this person that says, I just hate what everybody has done to Christmas. I get that, I understand that. But let's, at Victory Life Church, let's celebrate the birth of the Messiah. Let's celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior, that a baby was born in Bethlehem and he died for our sins in Jerusalem on Golgotha. We have a reason to rejoice, and this month we need to celebrate that. Let everybody else celebrate whatever they want to celebrate, but don't let that distract you. Don't let that burden you. Don't let that get you frustrated. Okay, we are here to worship and to give glory and honor to the Most High God and that most precious gift. Give the Lord some praise. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Did you know that? Does that make sense to you guys this morning? Did you guys ever ponder that? That Jesus walked around in human flesh on earth for 33 plus years. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to be homeless. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood. He knows he has been tempted in every single way possible. Okay? So whatever you're going through and you think, well, nobody can relate to what I'm going through, that's simply not true. That's simply not true, because Jesus Christ was tempted. His humanity was tempted by every single possible temptation there is. Well, can you prove that? Well, this is what the scripture says right here. For we do not have a high priest. See, he is our connection to God the Father. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have access to God the Father. See how important Jesus Christ is to us? This is the only way to eternal life. This is the only way to salvation. Remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Our access to God the Father is our high priest, is Jesus Christ. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what it feels like, folks. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood and be tempted in every area. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Now here's the difference. Has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, he was that 100% human, 100% God. But see, that human part of him, or the humanity of Jesus Christ, never once gave in to temptation. Does that make sense? He never once gave in to that temptation. So look with me at James 1 in verse 13, because I want to point out the fact that Jesus, as he was tempted, as we're talking about right now, as Jesus was tempted by everything that we've ever been tempted by and more, he did not just say, I'm God, I got this, let me just go through the motions, la la la, I got to get to the cross, this is one thing I got to do. Okay, his humanity was tempted, okay? He could have gave into that, but he did not. Okay, let me bring this, hopefully shed a little light on the subject. James 1 and verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted. Raise your hands if you've ever been tempted. You ever been tempted? All right, okay. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Now raise your hand if you've ever been tempted by God. You can't. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Now listen, for God cannot be tempted with evil. You see? So 100% God, 100% man, God being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, his deity could have breezed right through that stuff, man. That is nothing. But see, his humanity was put on trial. His humanity was and his godness, but he was being tempted, that his human flesh was being tempted, and he showed us something, Brother Bill. He showed us something, Brother David. He showed us how us, as mere human beings, how we can say no to temptation. How we don't have to give in to temptation. Because Jesus Christ, what did he do? He quoted scripture. He was standing on God's promises. Okay? So that's a wonderful, beautiful thing that we don't want to just go in one ear and out the other. Jesus Christ, humanity was tempted in the wilderness. He did not give into it, as we know, but he used it by standing on God's promises. So here we go, Brother Mark. Here we go, Sister Claudia. When we're going through a trial, and Lord knows we got them, as we're going through a trial, we don't have to give into discouragement, despair, hopelessness. We don't have to give into that temptation, whatever it is. God's not going to hold you down, say, no, here you go, open his mouth, Gabriel, here we go. No, it doesn't work like that. We can say no to any temptation by standing on God's promises. There's always a back door. There's always a way out. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Merry Christmas time. Merry Christmas time. Okay, whatever. Okay, so let us go to slide 2, I believe. Yes, slide 2. Isaiah 9, verse 6, part A. We're not going to read the whole verse, but this is our main little verse. We're going to try and dissect this verse over the next week or so, Lord willing. We'll see what happens. But we're not going to go through this whole verse today. Isaiah 9 and 6. For to us a child is born. Isn't that precious? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. For to us a child is born. Look at Galatians 4 and verse 4. We're still talking about that humanity. 100% God, 100% man. Right now we're still focused on to us a child is born. For to us a child is born. Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that Jesus was 100% man as well as 100% God? Well, the fact that he was man, he understands, he can relate to what I'm going through. He totally gets what I'm going through. He shows us the way of how I don't have to give into these things. You know what I mean? And we can never rightfully say, well, no one understands what I'm going through. My situation is so unique. No, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born of a virgin in a manger, he gets it. He understands it. He knows exactly how you feel. Amen? Also, for us a child is born, Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, see, God not only keeps his promises, but God does it perfectly, at that perfect time. Everything had to happen a certain way to fulfill all the prophecies that were spoken about the Messiah. And so in the fullness of time, in that perfect time, you know, Israel had to be ruled by someone who was using crucifixion as a form of punishment. Okay? That's part of the prophecies right there. Okay? Now, in the fullness of time, I've pondered, why at that particular moment? Well, that's another one of them things. God knows exactly what he's doing. But a real interesting thing about Rome ruling the known world at this time and Israel being subject to Rome is they had this thing called Pax Romana. I hope I'm saying that right. Doesn't matter. You'll never remember it. Pax Romana. But it's, Rome, for all its evilness and paganism and harsh treatments of its subjects, brought some advancements into the world. Like the road system. You ever heard the thing, all roads lead to Rome? Well, that was pretty much true, man. So the Romans, as they occupy these territories, they make these amazing road systems, okay, which is going to be great after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the word of God to go out throughout the known world, you know. The parcel, the one common language that, okay, the Romans said, listen here, I don't want to go ask you something and you give me a bunch of bibble babble from your old hometown language, okay? You need to be able to communicate with my soldiers over here. We got to have a common language here. Another wonderful thing for the spread of the gospel. So in the fullness of time, God just, and that's just some little things, man, but God does everything perfectly. And that's the God we serve. So we're super blessed, man. So anyways, talking about his humanity. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, that's talking about his deity. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, talking about his humanity, born of a woman, born under the law. See, that's another reason why Jesus Christ had to be human. Why he had to be part of humanity. He had to be born under the law. God cannot be under the law. God is the lawgiver. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, but see, humanity, we were born under the law. Until we accept Jesus Christ, that's the situation you're in. But once we accept Jesus Christ, man, we got his grace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise, why don't you? Got to be careful with the fluids. And it's important, even though it's cold outside, it's important to stay hydrated. Very, very important to stay hydrated, right? That's right. For to us a child is born. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Okay, so Jesus Christ was that perfect law-abiding citizen, if we can say that. He never, even though he was tempted, just like us, he never once broke any of the law. Not once. So he not only showed us how we can get through things by standing on God's word, by standing on the scripture, but he fulfilled the law, something that we could never, ever, ever, ever do. We couldn't do that, but Jesus Christ did that for us. Amen. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. See the wonderful thing why Jesus had to be born in human flesh, why he had to walk among us, is he had to fulfill the law. He had to fulfill the law that we could never do. You know what I mean? What a wonderful blessing, man. That perfect sacrifice. Now look with me at Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. See, this is how it was set up, man. The life is in the blood. And so blood had to be spilled as an atonement for our sins. So there was the animal sacrifices that God had set up, okay, where they would take a spotless animal, a spotless lamb that couldn't have any defect, and they would sacrifice that lamb for our sins, for their sins. And that was a foreshadowing. That was a pointing to Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was going to do for us. This is Jesus Christ shed his human blood. His blood was poured out for me and you on the cross. Matter of fact, look at John 1:29. The next day, okay, let me give you a little background here. John the Baptist, he was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was saying, there's one coming bigger than me, folks. There's one coming who I baptize you with water, but there's one coming that is just going to baptize you with fire, you know. And I kind of sounded silly when I said that. But so John is preparing the way for the Messiah. And then over the hill one day comes the Messiah, comes Jesus Christ walking over the hill. And so John the Baptist stops what he's doing and calls everybody's attention to the Messiah, and that's what we're here for. You know, it's not about us, but it's about pointing towards Jesus Christ. That's where the change is. That's where the life is. That's the way, the truth, and the life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So he sees the Messiah coming over the hill, and he's like, whoa. Remember that guy that was, look, behold. Okay, he says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So, you know, those old animal sacrifices were a foreshadowing or a pointing to what Jesus Christ was going to do for us. He laid his life down. He shed his blood. He died so we can live forever. My sin was placed on his back, and his righteousness was placed on mine. Give the Lord some praise. Hebrews 9:22, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So somebody had to pay for our sins. Either we would pay for it for all eternity, or we accept that precious gift. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now this, the son is given, that is speaking of his deity. This is talking about that greatest gift. Why do we exchange gifts at Christmas time? People got different opinions on that. I don't know. Some people say it's because the wise men brought gifts. That's a good thing, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's because God the Father gave us the most precious gift. Nobody really knows for sure why we do it, and I do enjoy that part. It is certainly better to give than to receive. But anywho, moving forward, we're talking about that precious gift that changed the world. Whether you're a Christian or not, you'd have to be pretty dull, pretty imbecilic. That's a fancy word, imbecilic. I don't even know if that's a word. But from this day forward, whether you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or not, he completely changed our world like nobody else. And I got news for you. He is the Son of God. He died for your sins and rose from the dead. Talking about the deity, for to us a son is given. Now look at Romans 6 and verse 23 on your bulletin or on the slide. For the wages of sin is death. See, that's kind of the whole thing why Jesus had to come on the scene in the first place, man. Because of sin. Because of my sin and your sin, Adam and Eve's sin. Well, if Adam and Eve wouldn't have sinned, then everything would be perfect. No, somebody would have messed up way before it got to you. You know what I mean? And if it got to you, Lord knows you would have messed it up. I would have messed it up. Hey, so let me get this straight. I can do anything. I can do anything here, but there's that one thing in the middle. I can't mess with that, right? Huh. Man. I wonder what's going on with that thing in the middle over there. Yeah. That's how that works, man. The thing we're not supposed to have is this thing that stands out the most. That's another message. But anywho, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and all the prophecies. And see, look, for the wages of sin is death. The thing that God's deity did, which is just so mind-boggling, and it's not all-inclusive, but it just blows my mind to think that Jesus Christ on the cross, the Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, destroyed the power of the grave. He destroyed death. So as this year winds down, and we've lost a couple very close loved ones in this church. And we've all lost family members. You know, most of us have. You know, if they're in Christ, man, even though there's certainly a time to mourn, there's certainly a time to rejoice as well. Because death has been destroyed. The power of death has been destroyed for those that are in Christ Jesus. Can you give the Lord some praise? Maybe for Christmas, somebody will make me one of them fancy hats that you put the beverage in, you know? You got in the straw will go to it. I've asked many times. I've put that out there many times for my Christmas list. No one's yet to get me one. My mama wouldn't let me wear that when I was preaching. And I'd probably spill it. Thank you, Brother David. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, Merry Christmas, here's your gift. For the free gift of God See, we don't have to take it, but we would be foolish beyond foolish if we did not accept this gift. You know what I mean? We're talking about our eternity. And see, we have this wonderful, 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 precious gift that is right there for us. And all we have to do is accept it. The hard work's been done. But the free gift of God, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God doesn't want us to obey his word. I'm not saying that. Okay, but I'm saying do not wait until you think you got your ducks in a row to accept that precious gift, because you're not going to get your ducks in a row. That's not going to happen. And tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Okay? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So talking about Jesus Christ's deity destroying the power of the grave. Well, what does that give me, man? That gives me eternal life. Eternal life, man. See, what a wonderful, precious thing was done in that manger in Bethlehem, and what a wonderful thing was done on that cross, and what a wonderful thing was done when that stone was rolled away. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Deity, God, the second man of the Trinity. He was 100% God. Colossians 2 and verse 9, and we're winding things up here. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in him, talking about Jesus, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, God in the flesh, living that perfect, sinless, spotless life. And look at Hebrews 10 and verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice. So thank the good Lord that you don't have to go around sacrificing the lambs. Matter of fact, after Jesus' death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, all the sacrifices that took place in Jerusalem were null and void. They didn't count no more. Jesus Christ was that lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. He was the one that all the sacrifices were pointing to. He was that lamb, that perfect, spotless lamb. But when Christ had offered for all time, and see, no one made him go to the cross. Hey, Paul, it's Christmas time. Don't talk about the cross. You can't have one without the other, man. You know, you can't have one without the other. But when Christ had offered for all time, no one made him. He willfully went there in love for me and you, held him there. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, because he was God, it only had to be done one time. And that was good enough for God the Father. A single sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God. So where's Jesus Christ right now? He's at the right hand of God. So, well, I thought he died. Yeah, he did. He did just like he said he was. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, just like he said he did. And he's alive to this very moment, sitting at the right hand of God. So the wonderful thing about being a Christian is because Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he's the firstborn of many brothers. You know what I mean? He will never die again. Never, ever, ever, for all eternity. So we will one day, if the Lord tarries, one day our hearts will stop. That's just how this thing works, man. You know, and our heart will stop beating, our lungs will stop pumping air, and all that fancy science stuff. You know, whatever. You know, and there might be a little sting, a little pinch, but the good book says death, where is your sting? Because at the moment of our passing, we springboard into our eternity. You know, faster than we can even realize. We're going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior where we will never die again because of what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. Amen. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Look at Revelation 1 and verse 18 in closing. And the living one, talking about Jesus, and the living one, I died. And behold, I am alive. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? This is our Savior. 100% man, 100% God. And the living one, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and Hades. That's why he had to be 100% man and 100% God. So go with me and let's read our main verse again. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Look at your bulletin if you want to. We're just going to read this in closing. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. Guys, take your bulletin. Read all the notes in there. There's a lot of stuff going on. I want to give a big shout out to Adam Sanitation for this is what the workers did. It's not like corporate went and bought a bunch of turkeys, but the workers raised the money and bought the turkeys for Victory Life Church to hand out to those in need. So what a wonderful, awesome, and amazing thing that Adam's Sanitation did for those in need. And what a wonderful privilege it is to partner with them.